Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who before the passion of your Son, Jesus, revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. A reading from the second letter of Peter. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we were made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
6 days after Peter acknowledged Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about this vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. Peter said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let me build 3 dwellings. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen." So we are at the last Sunday of Epiphany. Get your alleluias out now. Here we are at the very end of this journey, and we, like every year at the end of Epiphany, we go up the mountain of transfiguration, and there we are transfigured like Jesus, with Jesus, and we see out in front of us, I hope, the Lenten journey, the Valley of Lent there in front of us, and the journey we must take to the cross. That's the whole sort of point of this mountain, right, is to be able to see that. If you are in Knoxville today, the Reverend Stephanie Spellers will preach at Good Samaritan Knoxville this evening. I'd be going, but I've got premarital counseling. That's important. So she's speaking there at Good Sam, and every year they have a feast for Absalom Jones, who was the first African-American Episcopal priest. And this being Black History Month, they celebrate this every year, and they invite a speaker or a preacher. And this year it's Stephanie Spellers. And if you don't know who she is, Stephanie Spellers is the National Church's Director of Evangelism. So she's casting that, pulling those folks in. So she's out there. She's the evangelist. I fell in love with her ministry my first year of seminary. Back then, she wasn't a part of the National Church. She was at this little church in Boston, and she was working out of that church, but she started a community that is still alive called The Crossing. And The Crossing was really cool. It she took this group of maybe, 15 or 20-somethings, and she went out there and she said, okay, what we have here with this Eucharist thing is super meaningful and powerful and wonderful, and there's a whole generation of folks that it's just sort of going right over their heads, and so we're going to figure that out. So she goes out with this group of people, and she invites people into the Eucharist, and the way she does it, she says, come on, but before we do the Eucharist, I want you to show us what you do for your own spiritual life. And so somebody would come in and lead yoga, and then they would do the Eucharist, or somebody would come in and read a bunch of poetry that was important to them, and they would do the, or they'd go out in nature and hike around and do things, and then they would do the Eucharist. This was a way of people connecting their own spirituality with this sacrament, right? And it became extremely powerful and became this huge group, and they called it The Crossing, right? Because it's the crossing point between the spirituality of a group of people who have self-identified, younger folks, self-identified as despondent and disconnected with the Holy Eucharist, with what we are doing, right? It's this crossing, this intersection point. And she came to VTS my junior year, my first year of seminary, and started talking about this. And man, I just fell in love with the idea, right? And I was super inspired. And it was, I'm just going to say, it was like a mountain moment. It was a transfiguration moment where I witnessed there, I saw there, I became inspired that, man, this following Jesus thing, I can connect this huge thing that has been important to me my whole life, this Eucharist thing, with a group of people who have lost touch with it. And I was super inspired about that. I'm so inspired that I spent the first several months of my second year of seminary setting up an internship in Boston with the crossing and Stephanie Spellers. I got on the phone with her and said, here's who I am, this is what I do. I'm a little white boy from Knoxville, Tennessee, and I would love to be a part of this thing. And she said, well, come on up. And she mailed me her book, which is called Radical Welcome, and I read through that, and man, I was just ready. I was ready to go do that. And then March came around, and something transformative happened to me. I was playing basketball with my friends, and my knee decided to tell me, hey, we're over 30. We're over 30. And the patellar alta tendon, I don't know how else to say it other than exploded. It felt like the thing exploded. And I remember my surgeon said, oh, this is like a weekend warrior accident. And I said, I don't appreciate your tone. That's what I said to him. I'm an all-the-time warrior. What are you talking about? And so he went in there and fixed it. And the deal was I had to wear this brace that kept my knee straight for 6 weeks. And it was non-weight-bearing for, 7 weeks. So it was, I lost all that muscle. And so the summer, my summer plans were just shot. And instead of going and being a part of this crossing thing up in Boston, I went to Houston, Texas, where my best friends in the world live, and did physical therapy in the 108,000 degree weather of Houston, Texas, right? In the 550% humidity right there. And there I was for that summer, and that's what I did. And so here's the thing. It was serendipitous. It was a beautiful thing because my friends, Will and Courtney, had a daughter, and she was three. She was almost three. She wasn't quite three. She was like 2.5. Will lost his job that year and took a new job that she didn't pay as much, which means Courtney had to take a job. And so I became a manny that summer. Is that the term? Manny. Not a nanny, a manny. Which meant I was responsible for this human life, which was terrifying, right? I had to make sure that this two-year-old didn't die. That was my job that summer, right? And that you know, it's like a little existential crisis. You're like, oh my gosh. And so so I spent a lot of time with Tennyson that summer, and she was absolutely as adorable and lovable as a human being can possibly be, right, in that moment. And I spent a time getting to know her routine and having to be a part of that and figuring all that out. And one of the big routines was nap time. Nap time was a precarious time, right? It was important. Did you know this, that the health of a child, like naps, are important to that? I thought that was just me. But it turns out toddlers, too, need naps to function in the world. And so there was a nap time in the afternoon, and she went down at 1 o'clock, right? Like clockwork. She was just something else. And she would nap for 45 to 50 minutes. You know, usually like 48 minutes, 37 seconds. That's how long she napped. It's pretty, you could like time it, right? And so this one Thursday rolled around, and we were going to do nap time, and mom and dad are at work, and I had gone to physical therapy in the morning, and in the afternoon I was told I needed to go to the YMCA, get in the pool, and do this set of exercises. And so so I had it all planned out. Nap at 1, up at 1:49, 37 seconds, in the car, get to the YMCA 2:15, do my exercises, leave the Y 2:45, go to pick up dad at work 3 o'clock, bam, it's done. I've got this worked out. And to get Tennyson asleep, I would hold her in this arm, and I would sing old white dead guy hymns to her, like from the hymnal, like Be Thou My Vision. You all know that one. I mean, it's such a wonderful, she just fell right asleep. I don't know if that means it's boring or soothing or what, but she fell right asleep to that. And I wish I was kidding right now. Like, I would sing to her, Be Thou My Vision. And then I would lay her down. And here's the thing. When Tennyson woke up from her nap, you needed two things. You needed Mrs. Kitty, which was a plush cat about this big, and you needed Mr. Boo Bear. Now, Mr. Boo Bear was a plush bear about Dawn size. It was just ginormous plush bear, right? But you needed she needed these two things to transition from the world of sleeping into the world of waking with minimal tears. That's what needed to happen. So, so this Tuesday or this Thursday rolled around, and we were had this all planned out, and Tennyson blew past her wake up time. I mean, just blew past it, and it was like 45 minutes, 50 minutes, 55. I'm panicking. And finally, she wakes up, right? And I've got Mr. Boo Bear and Mrs. Kitty there, and we wake up. But we have to move because we got to get in the car, right? And so I'm trying to get her to wake up, and we're walking around, and we've got the Mrs. Kitty and the Mr. Boo Bear. And I have a conversation with her. I talk to her in the same rational tone that I'm talking to you right now. And I say, Tennyson, we're going to go to the YMCA, and we can take Mrs. Kitty, but we cannot take Mr. Boo Bear. Crying began at that moment at a level that I have never quite experienced. I mean, we're talking like gasping for oxygen type crying, like the sobs are so intense that there's no air coming through. Just breathe, child, breathe, you know, kind of thing. But I was sticking to my guns, right? And I, because, you know, I'm the adult in this situation. And so I get her down there in the car, and, you know, I put her in her little car seat, and she's still crying, but she's got Mrs. Kitty, and the tears are all on Mrs. Kitty. But I'm standing my ground. I buckle her all in, and then I get into my seat, and I buckle up, and there's a mirror system. She's facing the back, right? And there's a little mirror there, and I can adjust my mirror, and I can see her face. And so I adjust my mirror, and I look at her face, and something broke in my heart at that moment. And I said, Tennyson, do you need Mr. Boo Bear? And she goes, I do. July, Houston, three city blocks to the YMCA. Robert, flip-flops, swimming trunks, goggles on his head, Tennyson in this arm, Mr. Boo Bear in this arm. That's how that worked, right? That's how that whole summer went. I learned all about how letting go and just showing up with people, right, and opening your heart to folks is so important and creates so much joy and so much connectedness between you and somebody else. I learned some of the most important lessons of my life in that very difficult physical therapy, diaper changing summer that I was a part of, right? It was just full of joy. And I would have totally missed out on it had I gone and been with the Stephanie Spellers, right? I think Peter, when he's up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, there with Jesus, nobody can blame him for saying to Jesus, he asked the question, he says the thing that all of us say, which is, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let me build something to hold on to it. Let me build something so that I can hold on to it. And there's no blaming Peter. I mean, think about Peter's journey. So Peter is there with Jesus, and this is the Messiah. He knows because he's proclaimed it. He said, you are the Messiah, right? Just 6 days earlier, the gospel tells us. And so Peter knows. Peter knows that this is the guy who's going to break open the kingdom of God. And what that means for Peter is this is the guy who's going to take us through the bureaucracy, through all the grandstanding, through the political infighting, through the oppression from Rome, through all of it, and bring about this new utopia, this new wonderful place of being together where we can follow God's law and know how to do that in the kingdom together, right? And following Jesus was supposed to be that. And instead, what following Jesus was, it was showing up with the people who are most vulnerable, the people who were hurting and demon-possessed and hungry and vulnerable and homeless and helpless and begging and blind and just being with those people, right? This is the path of the kingdom of God. And Peter must have been scratching his head thinking, how could this be the path? How could it be? And then there they were on the mountain, and Peter says this thing, and Jesus is aglow, and Moses and Elijah are there, and then you get the voice from heaven, right? This is the Messiah, my son. Listen to him. Follow him. And in that moment, Peter knew. Peter knew that he was on the right track. He had put his chickens in the right basket. Is that a thing? Put his eggs in the right basket? Had counted his chickens before he hatched them? Anyway, so Peter did the right thing. He knew. He knew what was going on, right? And I would bet that there are moments in your own life that you can look at now, right? And say, in that moment, I was sure. I was sure that God loved me, that I was held in God's embrace, that all was right, that I was doing the thing that God had created me to do. And then something happens, right? Some loss or disappointment or break or health problem or death, right? And this is how our lives go, from mountaintop experience to valley, from mountaintop, from death into resurrection, from death to resurrection, from death to resurrection. And this is the same journey that Jesus takes the disciples through. And this is why Jesus says to Peter and to the disciples, don't tell anybody about this until after the Son of Man is raised. Because Jesus must know that the people who are going to be willing to follow him to the cross cannot be holding on to that transfigure moment up on the mountain. They can't be up there building those structures, right? Like Peter wanted to do. They got to be willing to follow. That summer that I spent with Tennyson, I learned how to be a priest in many ways. I learned how to just show up, to let go of my agenda for this person's agenda, you know. I learned how to love deeply, how to be terrified at the same time. I learned how to clean poop off myself. Blowouts in the grocery store, something else, right? I learned a lot that summer. And years later, little Tennyson is not so little anymore, and she's diagnosed with dyslexia, right? And she's I don't know if this means anything to any of you, but she's a one on the Enneagram, which means she's She's a perfectionist. And you can just imagine how difficult it is for a perfectionist to watch their three-year younger brother sort of surpass them in reading, you know, and be as smart as she is. But she handles that full of grace. And she invites me into that struggle. She articulates to me that struggle. And I get the opportunity, the privilege of being there in that struggle. And then two summers ago, I went and I did the wedding of her aunt, my Will's sister. And there we were at the what's the dinner before the wedding? It's the rehearsal dinner. Yeah, I've got to learn that before April. So there we were, and little Tennyson told me about a crush she had on one of the boys. And this was the first time she articulated that, and it was to me. And I went and told her parents. Hey, just so you know, Tennyson divulged this to me and not to you. Just so you know. Man, this bond, right? I learned, in a lot of ways, how to love without too much self-interest tied up in all of that. And that's what being a priest is all about. I would have missed it with Stephanie Spellers, right? Up on that Transfigured Mountain, I was inspired by Stephanie. I knew I was on the right track. But Jesus Christ was not going to allow me to stay there, not allow me to build a structure around that. Jesus was going to lead me into something else. And that's what the Transfiguration is all about. That's what the season of Epiphany is all about. And that's what Lent is all about. The willingness to head into this world that's vulnerable and broken and needy, right? Full of trust and full of love. Knowing that God's doing something around every corner, right? And that every death will be met by a transfiguration. Amen.
Please stand with me and let us confess our faith together by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 5 of your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrected dead and a life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people are found on page 5 of the bulletin. In the joy of the revelation of God's new light in the world, let us pray to God, saying, receive our prayer. God who ordains, become manifest in the work of your ministers in this and every church, so that through the priesthood of all believers, your name and countenance may be made known, your love revealed, and your saving promise embraced by all. God of the new light, God who commands, give discerning and prayerful hearts to those who govern and hold authority throughout the world. From the ashes of oppression and injustice, give rise to your created purpose, by which your loving pathos will be better realized throughout the world. God of a new light, God who gathers, enfold this parish community and the greater church community in loving mutuality. Where there is discord, help its members to resurrect unity, that we may better participate in the kingdom brought about by your self-disclosure. God of the new light, God who restores, hold in your embrace all those who in this community are facing trouble, illness, or despair. We especially pray for Margaret, Steve, Nicole,
J.R., John and Jen, Paul, Marie, Jenny, Martha, Ryan and Haley, Eddie, Richard, Irene, Jimmy and Mike, Michael, Laura, Taylor, Pat, Alberta, Zach, Chuck and Betsy, Michael, Georgina, Joyce, Bill, Martha, Shane, Judy, Pat, Randy, Jeff, Melody, Barbara, Sherry, Jason, Anna, Terry, Mason, Cameron, Daniel, Carol, Rosemary, Al, Thomas, Jim, Don School, Hillcrest School, Community Free Ventures, and Friends.
Help us all to see frailty, fatigue, failure and disappointment as opportunities to depend more deeply on your love. God of the new light, God who gives birth, lead us and all people to participate in the rejuvenation and resurrection of the earth and all your creation. Make us better stewards of the gift you provide in creation. Make us more mindful of those who are to come after us. God of the new light,
receive our prayer.
God who gives new life, bring to yourself and all those who have died. Help us to live more fully into the life you promise through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God of the new light,
receive our prayer.
Now let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please stand as you are able. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Huddle back here. He's trapped here.
Let's make the most of them. So there's a lot of interesting stuff coming our way. Right after this service, we are going to decorate for Shrove Tuesday, Mardi Gras. It comes by so many names. Fat Tuesday, Shrove Tuesday, Mardi Gras. Who even knows what they're doing here? But that's Tuesday night, whatever it is. I call it Pancake Extravaganza. And so come and if you'd like to help after the service, that'd be fantastic. If you can't, that's okay, but come Tuesday evening. We will do our regular Eucharist at 6 o'clock, followed at 6:30 by the Shrove Tuesday celebration. Folks from St. Albans are coming. So come and be a part of that. And since I said that, you know that Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, right? And we'll read in the Bible how we're not supposed to disfigure our faces, and then we'll disfigure our faces with the ashes. So come Wednesday. The one here is at noon at St. Thaddeus, and then there's a 6:30 at St. Albans. That's this coming Wednesday. Noon here at St. Thaddeus, at St. Albans, 6:30 p.m. Ash Wednesday services. And next Sunday will be the first Sunday in Lent. The liturgy will shift a little bit next Sunday. We'll do Rite 1. We'll do the Great Litany. So just come prepared to, you know, look at your bulletin next Sunday. It'll be a good shift, but it'll be a shift away from what we're doing right now. It'll be a bit of a change. So be prepared for that. That starts next Sunday, which is the first Sunday of Lent. Sally, did you have something to talk about?
I think y'all can notice the banner boxes out there being collected. We're still collecting paper products for them, and when the box gets to overflowing, someone from here will take it all out to Hosanna, and they will unload it and enjoy it. And
so we collect paper goods.
Paper goods.
Yeah.
Anything that's made out of paper they need.
Yeah.
And also, you know, soap and, bath soap and things like that.
Yeah. Kathleen and I would like to better understand the prayer list, because we know who a lot of people on there are, but we don't know who everybody is. So we'd like, if you have any information about the prayer list and who's on there and how they're doing, we would love to get that information so that if we need to make any changes to the prayer list, maybe people need to go on, maybe more people need to go, maybe some people need to come off, maybe more people need to go on. But we're going to spend March going through that process. So if you know something about the prayer list, feel free to email us. Let us know what's going on so we've got the information. Any other announcements?
Yes,
Deb.
It's the Lent season, so we won't be doing the weekly donations for flowers. But we do have the sign-up sheet so that if you want to do donations as far as the lilies, it is in the flower room. So that has to be done.
For Easter lilies.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Dad. Thanks. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High. Grace.
Upon the mountain stands, vision of the Father's blessing, blazing forth through all the lands, saints and angels now professing. Alleluia.
Of grace, meant to see and tell.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise. Glory to you forever and ever. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets and their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Have mercy, Lord, for we are sinners in your sight. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. By his blood, he reconciled us. By his wounds, we are healed. And therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who look to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our mothers and fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. And as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Alleluia.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, You have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace. Grant us strength and courage to love and serve you. Through Christ our Lord. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest on you this last Sunday of Epiphany and remain with you always. Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Last one, that's the last one.